Dum Dum away!
0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011 0011
Welcome to Screen Review Time Warp. I'm Tyson.
And I'm Andrew.
And I'm Zach.
And here is where we talk about the past, present, and future of all things TV and movies. So, beginning it off, past, what's something that you've watched recently, either for the first time, you rewatched it, and what did you love? What didn't you love?
First time for me, I watched The Commando. Never actually seen it before. Yep. I feel like I've seen it a million times through other movies. All the same from the 80s.
The classic 80s trope.
Oh, yeah. So classic. Yeah, so Commando is about a retired Black Ops commando launches a one-man war against a group of South American criminals who have kidnapped his daughter.
And tell me, who is this one commando who can do it all?
Oh, that would be Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Ah, very good. Very good.
Now, it's pretty self-explanatory. He definitely does wage a one-man war against these criminals, but...
As he should.
As he should.
Good.
Damn them all.
Exactly. They're all wrong.
Yeah.
The American way.
But what it doesn't tell you is that the people he's fighting against is his old Black Ops team. And they've all slowly been killed off one by one, and they've actually been following his general till they get to him because they could not find him.
And they've been reanimated as zombies.
Unfortunately, no. That would be more entertaining.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Oh, well. Yeah, so it was good, though?
It was good. Lots of action.
Yep.
Lots of bullets. I don't know how one gun can hold so many bullets.
Bullets and testosterone.
That's
and muscles. Yeah. So many muscles.
Classic 80s. Classic.
Classic 80s. Have you two seen it?
No, I haven't. No, I'm ashamed to say that there's a lot of Schwarzenegger that I haven't seen.
How have you lived this long?
I have a whole list of... This will probably come up many times in future episodes, but there's a whole list of movies that I feel I should have seen by this point in my life, and I haven't.
Okay.
And I don't want everyone to judge me in one hit, so I'm going to slowly reveal them over time. And, yeah.
Well, as long as you've seen this classic role of Mr. Freeze, then you're sweet.
Of course.
Yeah, that's the classic Schwarzenegger role.
Role of a lifetime.
Nice to meet you.
Oh, 20 million.
Yeah, you know, I dare say that was the best Batman movie ever. No.
Kill the heroes.
Oh, dear.
Joshi Marker.
Oh, gosh. Well, I recently rewatched Hellboy, which I had great nostalgia for because I actually really enjoyed Hellboy 2. I'm specifically talking about Hellboy 1 at the moment, though. And I've got the Hellboy comics, and I've been rereading them, and I recently got one where it was the crossover of Hellboy and Batman, which is so good. I'll lend it to you. I had this nostalgia, and I was like, yeah, and I still maintain that Hellboy 2 is a brilliant movie. But I was
I didn't like Hellboy 2.
Really?
I didn't think much of it.
I remember you saying this.
Yeah, I liked Hellboy 1, loved it. But Hellboy 2, I was just like,
I went back and I sat down. I'm like, okay, nostalgia. I'm going to watch some Hellboy.
Yeah, good.
I sat down and I was watching it. And I honestly was like, I don't know how they got greenlit for a second one. I thought the first one was so just really... average.
Did it
really
fall at the box
really
office?
Cheesy. That's the other thing.
Yeah, okay.
Like just massive cheese factor of just yeah, like, I'm a giant demon and here's, you know, the Nazis and just really average CGI. Like, I mean, it was 2004, so you gotta keep that in mind. But even still, I was just kinda like, I don't think that it's a great story in and of itself.
No, it wasn't.
So I'm yet to go back and complete it and watch number two.
Okay.
But I do think that Hellboy 2 was much better. But yeah, Hellboy 1, I was just kind of like, this is so cheesy. I don't know how
but
you
that,
got this.
That was my problem with Hellboy 2, was the story was just like, it's not a good story.
No, it was great. You had the elves living in the sewers and...
You see, I think I'm still just waiting for him to turn bad. With his horns and the little like fire crown. I've been waiting for that.
Yeah, which he does in number one.
They teased it in number one, then he chooses to be a good boy.
Well, of course. Yeah.
And then, they end number two with saying, like, it is going to happen to you eventually. I'm still waiting for that.
Well, I think originally they were trying to continue the story in number three. In fact, I remember reading somewhere they had a script kind of... Not a script, but a story, least, kind of ready
some
to go.
Some kind of a treatment or whatever.
Yeah, because it was going to be... Okay, so spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen number two. It turns out that... mental blank. The leading lady, what's her character's name again?
Fire Lady.
Yep. I feel like a terrible nerd now.
Why
not
is
knowing
it not
this.
Written there?
Oh, I don't know. But anyway, she's pregnant with twins, with Hellboy's twins, and it was going to be basically them surviving in the... Liz Sherman, that's her name.
That's it.
In the BPRD and, you know, them raising twins and everything like that. And the whole thing of like, oh, hey, Hellboy's eventually going to bring about Armageddon.
Yeah.
And how do we kind of live with that? But it never got greenlit. But that being said, in slightly delving into the future section, apparently there's a new one being slated.
Rebooted. Talk about that.
Yeah. What do you know about it, Zach?
David Harbour, I believe his name is, from Stranger Things fame, is Hellboy. Interesting. I do see the physical resemblance.
Yeah, I think
he portrays
could be
the
very
character.
Good.
Yeah.
That is to be seen.
Yeah.
But
him and old Hellboy did have a sit down.
Ron Perlman.
Did they? Ron Perlman. That's good. They sat down and broke bread over lunch and discussed the roles
and
what to do and whatnot. Because Ron, whatever his name is, he's
Perlman.
He's on the way down. He's getting older. He can't physically be doing that stuff anymore.
Too true.
Pass on the mantle. And they have released it is going to be R-rated as well.
Oh, good.
They're going down that path as well.
Have you guys read any of the Hellboy?
No.
See,
because when we spoke about it, I was like, yeah, Hellboy's Marvel, isn't it?
No, Dark Horse.
Exactly, you see?
Classic Dark Horse.
I just assumed he was Marvel because it was an okay first movie.
Yeah. No, it's very religious. It's got lots of symbology in it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it totally... I don't know. I'm excited for it. I like the character. I like the franchise, so...
That's all you need, mate.
Yeah.
All you need.
What about you, Zach? What do you bring from the past?
I recently just watched Cabin in the Woods.
Mm.
Interesting. So this was released in 2012.
Yep.
Written and produced by Joss Whedon, as you would all know.
Avengers
if you don't.
Himself.
Avengers. Yeah, Avengers 1 and 2. Also created Firefly, directed Serenity, Buffy the Vampire.
Firefly, the single greatest science fiction TV show
still
ever made.
Never seen
still.
It.
Oh, Andrew, you need to watch it.
Half an hour of the first episode.
You need to watch it.
And he's also in the director's chair for Batgirl.
Exactly,
DC,
that's cool.
Jump ships.
Yep, which would be interesting. Anyway, Cabin in the Woods, go on, sorry.
And it's directed by and written by Drew Goddard as well. So Drew Goddard, if you don't know, is the creator of the Netflix Daredevil TV show.
He sure is.
He also wrote or co-wrote The Martian and wrote additional material, according to IMDb, for Deadpool 2.
He sure did.
You are selling me on Cabin in the Woods in, like, just by name dropping.
Just by name. Well, this is the thing, because I knew it was a horror film, but all I knew about it was Joss Whedon and Drew Goddard. I'm like, surely it's not going to be your typical, you know, slasher stereotypical horror.
Yeah.
And the plot, without giving too much away, because I came into this knowing nothing, and I came out just amazed because it's just, it just makes for such a better cinematic experience, I feel like, when you don't know too much and you come in.
Yeah.
It's basically about five teenagers who go to a cabin in the woods. And, of course, some stuff goes down and they're trying to find the secret of the Cabin of the Woods, why it is as it is and how they got where.
Instead of running away, they have to figure out why it's doing
it. Yeah, classic.
Yeah. I'd say it's very similar to Scream in the way it very much deconstructs the genre. It satirizes it even in points.
So is it a serious horror or is it kind of like a meta horror?
It's like half and half.
It's half and half, it's very half and half.
A comedy horror, for lack of a better word.
It is, There are very elements of comedy in there which are actually hilarious, and Joss Whedon just does such a great commentary on the genre itself, and he just breathes new life into it, if you will. But
when was it made, sorry? What
2012.
2012. So what was
starring the man himself?
That was after Firefly and after Serenity, or before Serenity?
No, it would have been after Serenity, I think. 2012. Because that's when Avengers came out. So he would have been in the heat.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so he would have been
primed.
Wow, okay. Prime time for him. And
yeah, but
because it has Chris Hemsworth in it as well.
It's probably the only notable one.
Yeah.
Or famous
name. There's a few notable faces in there.
There is, actually.
See, this is so interesting, because I generally will always steer away from horror.
Oh,
it's a genre I don't like.
I'm the exact same.
Now, there are... Look, to be... Yeah, a little bit. Like, I'm just kind of like,
it depends on the film, yeah.
And I don't find enjoyment of just like constantly being like, oh my goodness, I feel sick with like the build up of adrenaline. I'm just kind of like, I can live without that. Like, I'd rather there's lots of things that I want to watch, and I don't want to I don't want to not enjoy something. And also, I feel that like so much of it as well, just being like, no, don't go in that room, you idiot, and we'll just walk away.
The genre's been milked so hard since the 80s. And it's just the same. Every horror film is the same all over, just different premise. But this one is...
cue all the angry letters from horror fans right now.
Yeah. Oh, it's so... Come at me, honestly. but this one, because, you know, I've watched a horror here and there. I'm not, like, a mega fan into them. I've watched the old Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
The classics. But in comparison to horror films of the now, it's just so different. It's so creative with the tropes of the horror genre. And I would most definitely recommend this to anyone who is over 17, let's say.
What's it rated?
It's MA.
MA. It's got a 7 out of 10 on IMDb.
72 on Metacritic, which is respectable.
It's an hour and a half long.
It's a good watch. It flew by. It's so entertaining as well. So I'd recommend, don't watch any of the trailers. Just go into it blind as I did. And it was such a rewarding experience. Oh, it came out. Very intrigued. So yes, that's what I watched.
Oh, good. All right.
Recommended by Zach himself.
Yeah. Mm. So we have Commando, Hellboy, and Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll have to get onto that one. All right. Mm. Moving on to the present, as you do with a time machine, going from the past to the future.
Present.
Something that this is where we take a movie that is current. It's either just been released or it's newly released. And for this particular episode, we are looking at Wonder Woman, DC's foray into the female-led movie. In fact, they're the only ones because Marvel don't have anything.
Yeah. they've got something in the pipeline, but
but it's 2019 for
they haven't even started.
Is it Ms. Marvel or Captain Marvel?
Because I get Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel, DC's Captain Marvel, starring
Brie Larson.
Yes. Of Room. Seen that film.
And
heartbreaking. And
and Community. Gosh.
That's deep cuts. Let's go with Famous Rules.
Yeah. The mainstream.
How dare you, sir? Anyway, so Wonder Woman. Now, initial thoughts. Let's start there. I loved it. I thought it was brilliant.
Well, it's about time DC did something right.
Yeah. Let's get to that in a second.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Zach, initial thoughts?
Very well handled.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll delve into this in a minute, but Patty Jenkins understood the character completely.
Yep.
So did Gal Gadot. And I think just from a standpoint there, the writer also knew what they were doing.
Yes.
From that holy trinity, if you will, they just knew the character of her and how she acts, what she is, what she stands for, and they just portrayed it just almost brilliantly. So that's my initial thoughts. So really good job.
Yeah, it's like someone actually picked up a comic book.
Yeah. let's take it from let's take it as at the moment. It's the first female-led superhero movie. Yep. Unless I'm
you're correct.
It's also I might have this slightly wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's the first female directed big budget superhero movie as well.
Yep.
I mean, there was Supergirl back in 1980, but you know, who remembers that film?
Other thing as well is that Supergirl is essentially, she exists through Superman.
Exactly.
Whereas Wonder Woman is a standalone. She exists by herself, and she's one of the, you know, the top three of DC now. Obviously, female directed, female lead, and the other thing as well is that I'm sure you probably noticed, although there is a bit of a love interest, it's not actually focused around that. It's focused around her,
which is
I thoroughly enjoyed it, and there's lots of little things for me that really stood out. For instance, one of the first things I noticed, and this is a bit of history. I did go to film school for a bit, not ages, but for a bit. And but the
whipping out the
without the credentials there. There we go. That's not a real credential. Anyway, but one of the things is that especially since then, I've always just been analysing movies so much more. Mm. And one of the first things I noticed with Wonder Woman is when they're on Themyscira, which is Wonder Woman's... Maybe we should backtrack for people who don't know much about Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman is one of DC's top three heroes, one of their like AAA list. She's obviously the female, the other two being Batman and Superman.
Yep.
She is from Themyscira, which is the island of the Amazons.
Yep.
And it is very heavily situated within Greek mythology. Yes. As well.
Now, an island only of women.
Yes, an island only of women. One of her main kind of her main tropes is that she is more based around magic.
Yeah.
Where so obviously you've got Batman based around technology money. And investigation and money. You've got Superman who's based around superheroes and alien technology, and she's based around Greek mythology and magic.
She was created by Zeus from clay in the comic books.
That's right.
Not in the movie adaptation. She was just
I think they mentioned it.
Yeah.
Well, she said that she came from Zeus, but not how she was made or anything like that.
Yeah, no,
which is good.
Her mum is like, oh yeah, I formed you with clay and
I'm
Zeus,
good they,
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, they made fun of it, which rightly so should have been done, because it is kind of a bit of a...
But you know what? One thing that I thought, I was like, it's going to be a hard pill to swallow to situate Greek mythology in with the DCEU.
Yeah.
And I think they did a pretty good job. Like, they put it in a way that it was believable, but not just kind of like, hang on, that, like, what, you're suddenly telling me that Zeus is around and Ares is here? Yeah. They put it in such a way that I think that it did.
You just accept that it is.
Uh-huh.
Greek mythology exists along with Batman and a guy from outer space.
Which also, like, well done. Like, as you were just explaining that to me, I'm like, none of that can situate together. And yet the writers did it in such a way that it gels so well.
Yeah.
Back to my original thing. When they're on Themyscira, I don't know if you guys noticed, but the entire cast of Themyscira, all the women, were athletes, not actresses.
Yes, I did know that.
Now,
except for, of course, Robin Wright and Connie Nelson.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, and Gal Gadot.
But Gal Gadot served in
the military.
Well, exactly. Yeah. So she has
some sort of a sporty background.
Yeah,
for lack of a better word.
Yeah. Which I'm going to touch on that point in a sec as well. So I noticed that originally, because you're looking around and you're like, this is a group of hardened women with scars, and they're built like they're warriors.
Yeah.
Which I think makes it so much more believable. And also, I think it gives it credibility as well.
It does. It's good that they weren't overly sexualized as well.
Exactly.
Which I think comes from Patty Jenkins directing it as well.
Yeah. Exactly.
Which is, I think, one of the right... Tick the right box there. Because that could have gone very sourly. And
absolutely sourly.
Yeah. Mm. Because Amazons, even if you look in Greek mythology, they are legit, like, not to be messed with.
Exactly. That's actually... So, going back to what you were saying about Gal Gadot being in the Israeli Special Forces or Army.
I just think army, not special forces.
Well, originally when she was cast, Now, I've done quite a few of these recently where I'm like, that person's been cast, that's the wrong... That's just no.
Yeah.
Because
she was a model at the time.
Well, yeah, and also the only thing I'd seen her in was a brief, like, 10-second... cut of Fast and Furious, and I was like, no, she's not Amazonian, she's not big enough, she's not strong enough, she's not that. And then my wife and I were discussing, and we're kind of like, well, she was in the Israeli army, like, she's done it, clearly this is just the build that she is.
But she, like, from Fast and Furious to this movie, she's put on a bit of muscle and stuff like
definitely
that.
And so like
because she was also a model as well.
She
was Miss wherever she comes from, Miss Israeli or whatever. She was a model. So she was on the slimmer side, but you know, she's bulked up for what a woman can do.
Be very careful how you say this, Andrew.
With her slender line, she's bulked up and she fits the part
exactly. And like, you're just looking at pictures of her and she looks like a Amazonian, like I think it was very well done.
If they went with a bulkier lady, like the lady from, say, Deadpool, the indestructible woman from Colossus.
Yes.
If they went with someone like her, it's hard for someone, say, like your wife or my fiance or stuff like that, to relate to that type of woman because she's already big, she's already muscly.
Yeah.
Where Gal Gadot,
yeah,
most women can relate to that.
I'm pretty sure she's a UFC fighter as well, the girl from Deadpool, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Yeah, so, you're right.
Yeah.
Just touching on that point, I think it's one of the podcasts that we listened to was talking about how when they were in a preview screening for Wonder Woman, some woman yelled out, I've been waiting my whole life for this. And I think for anyone who can't tell by our voices, we're three white males that are hanging around a kitchen table at the moment.
Yes.
I think we really need to be careful that it's, we can never really appreciate the significance of Wonder Woman because
But like they said in that podcast, it's finally good to see a movie where the lead isn't a man.
Yeah.
Throwing all the punches and kicking ass, for lack of a better word. It's finally a woman doing it.
And the other thing as well is I'm having a complete mental blank of what I was going to say.
Well, I feel like it wasn't like the women were more empowered than the men in this film. Like, the men were just totally just
ripped of every...
But I feel like there was a strong theme of equality between Chris Pine and Gal Gadot as well. It wasn't like, oh, women are better than men. It was like, no, we're equal. And that's how
he still
be.
Did the general man thing and went to protect her when the gun was fired.
Exactly,
and he was like, well, maybe you should protect me instead.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
But
yeah.
The mechanisms are still there of, I'm a man and I will protect the lady. And then he realizes he doesn't need, even when she's going into no man's land, he's like screaming like, don't do it.
Yeah.
But she just goes and does it anyway.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Which is on its own is very symbolic of no man's land, yet she goes into it.
Yeah.
Wearing next to nothing, but her costume, legs exposed and just bearing down with all the gunfire and water fire.
Oh my goodness, that scene.
Yeah.
And did you know they were going to cut that scene?
I heard this week as well.
Stupid Warner
Brothers. Patty Jenkins had to fight for that scene to stay in.
That movie would not have been the same without it. They based the whole movie on it.
Yeah. Like, you look at all the trailers, that's how it starts. True. They're climbing up the ladder.
Oh, so good. So good.
Goodness. Best action sequence, I'd say, of the film.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can I say another thing? So, are you guys familiar with the Bechdel test in movies?
You're using fancy words again, and I'm not sure.
is that the guy who created Wonder Woman?
No, it's not. This is an old test.
I think the guy who created Wonder Woman created the...
The lie detector?
The lie detector.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Because he based the rope off of...
The lasso.
There you go. It's all coming together.
The lasso of truth. Yeah. What else do they call it?
I think that's just it.
Yeah, the lasso of truth. Yeah. Compels you.
Well, anyway, the Bechdel test, for anyone who's listening at home, is a simple test that movies can be put through. And this is its only criteria.
Actually, I think I have heard about this.
I'm sure you have once I start explaining it.
Yeah.
Is there a scene where there are only females on screen and they do not mention about or talk about a man?
Yeah.
That is its only criteria, and it's some stupid number... Like, it's like 98 or 99% of all movies fail this test.
Yeah. Wow. Which is ridiculous because of the day and age we're in.
Mm. Yeah.
Just women can definitely hold their own. Like, look at Wonder Woman on its own accord, you know? We're so backwards sometimes.
Well, I want to move off the female empowerment just because we've sat on it
not
for a little bit.
Not that we're against it.
Yes.
Certainly not. But I do want to end on this one thing as well. This is something that my wife... pointed out to me is that one of the villains in Wonder Woman, the chemist, Dr. Poison. Now she is a evil female character who is not evil because a man hurt her, which is again one of those things of like you go, oh, that's just, and then you kind of think about all your movies and any villain that is female and you kind of go, there are so many where it's just based around because it's the man.
Poison Ivy from Batman and Robin. She had no plan.
What
she
a
saw
film.
A beaker with Wayne Enterprises on it and said, come Bane, we're going to Gotham.
Again, it's that kind of a classic Batman movie.
Because she took care of the dude that killed her. she killed him and then just walked off.
Yeah.
What a film, honestly. Remember, I watched that when I was like 10 and I thought it was the best thing ever.
Yeah, I was exactly like the same when I was a kid. Like, this is amazing.
George Clooney.
Do you know, he's on record as being... I think he has a quote where he said that he single-handedly ruined Batman.
Yeah. But did you see the director finally release an apology for Batman?
Did he really?
He released one saying, I'm sorry.
By the Hollywood Reporter.
Yeah.
Wow, there you go.
He just said, enough's enough, I'm sorry.
Because what has he done since that?
No idea. Anyway, let's head back to Wonder Woman for a moment. So, what about story? Is there anything that you particularly did or did not like? One thing I will say is that I think... I just want to start on this.
Yep.
For anyone who's seen Iron Fist recently, one of the main complaints I had about that... Now, put it this way. I don't think it was as bad as everyone claimed it was. No. But... I don't think it's as bad as everyone claimed, but it certainly didn't live up to what we are used to, and B, what it should have.
Yeah. Well, that comes down to the showrunner, unfortunately.
Well, one thing that specifically I was complaining about a lot is that he comes back to New York and he's just like, I'm going to mansplain and tell you about everything. And they didn't capture the naivety of being away from modern civilization for 16 years. Now, that's one thing that I think they did really well in Wonder Woman. She came in, she was naive. She didn't know what it was all about, yet she still... now, I can't even think of anything particular at the moment, but she still was in this environment as a fish out of water, but still didn't try and say how everything was. She had her assumptions like, you know, this is all because of Ares and we have to go and stop Ares.
Of course,
but she wasn't like... She didn't come in and like try and command the situation the same way that they tried to do with Iron Fist.
Yeah.
And that's one of the subtleties especially that I really liked about it.
Most definitely. It was so character driven, which is I thought was the right choice for this film because it really explored her naivety and just her reaction to coming from an isolated island where it's all women to a world where you've got, you know, World War One going on and it's mostly men in there. It's just, it was...
Also during the time of suffragette and everything like
that. Exactly, yeah. It was just Patty Jenkins and Alan, I don't remember his last name. Yes, okay, who wrote it.
Reichman.
Just explored that so well.
Also, actually, Zack Snyder
wrote
some of the story as well. He did, which... So,
for once, he actually did something good.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, don't get me wrong, I think Sucker Punch looks amazing,
but
the story could have been...
It's what they say about Zack Snyder. As a visual director, he is outstanding.
So good.
But when it comes to story and flow, he loses some of his...
I think that's when he writes it, though.
Yeah.
I feel like... I'm not sure about you guys, but I really enjoyed Watchmen.
I enjoyed Watchmen as well.
One of my favorite movies.
I mean, it helps reading the comic and or the graphic novel, I should say. Because it's very visually faithful, and the story as well. I think they handled it quite well.
Yeah.
Then you look at Sucker Punch, which he wrote, and that was just a bit of a travesty in itself.
It just didn't make any... To me, it didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Can I just say, I think that's a perfect example of a man writing a story about women.
Yeah, that's true.
Like... but anyway,
nothing but respect for him. He's gone through a hard time.
Yeah.
So. Oh yeah, my goodness.
We're not trying to put him down or anything like that.
Oh my goodness, that poor guy and his wife. Like, cannot imagine.
We're just talking about movies. That's all we're talking about.
Yeah. But anyway, Wonder Woman. Brilliant.
The story. What else was there? I didn't. It felt a little bit slow at the start, but it paid off. It paid off in the end for the third act. I feel like because it started off. I'm like, all right,
I'll slightly disagree with that.
You were contention only fight.
5 minutes into the movie, and then there was that fight scene on the beach.
True,
because that happened right at the start. But then, yes, it did slow down until it got to London.
I think because you do have to take your time with these films that are driven by this character and exploring their relationship with the world.
Yeah.
So at the start, I was kind of a bit like, "Oh, not again, DC! Please, come on!" Because you know I've seen all the reviews and I was pretty hyped, but it paid off in the end. It just paid off really well.
Yeah.
Just the full circle. I can't say anything then. Yeah, it's just
There's no bad bits you can say about the movie. And the good thing about the movie was we're so, you know, ushered into thinking now, especially with Marvel, sit here till the end, wait for all the plot points leading up to the next movie. How is that connected to this? Wonder Woman was just a movie on its own.
Except for the first five minutes with
the Bruce Wayne truck rocking up and all
it's
that.
It's actually a very self-contained movie.
But it's not setting
movie.
Up Justice League. It's not it's not doing anything.
Which is, so good. The right choice.
Yeah. Mm.
What DC needed to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
We love DC. We just wish you got such good material after your left.
Look, to be honest, Man of Steel, I actually really enjoyed.
I really enjoyed Man of Steel as well.
There are a few beats with Man of Steel I still have my problem with him being so miserable and, you know, like...
Oh, give the guy a break.
Apparently General Zod can't move his eyes to the left. He has to move his whole head to kill someone. You know, but...
Things
like that. We'll cover that
on a past another episode.
Also, what do we think about the villain or villains?
Ares?
Yeah.
Oh, fan-flipping-tastic.
I was talking with someone just the other night, actually, about this, and he was actually complaining. He was just like, oh, he's such a classic villain. But
yeah,
I was like, hang on. With the exception of what I will say, the Batman villains, which are all of them are just incredible.
Yeah.
Villains are usually this... It's very hard to make a villain that is so multifaceted as a hero.
Yeah.
And I think what they did was actually quite good because, again, I was listening to someone else the other week and they were talking about how Ares and Wonder Woman were essentially... fighting the same purpose but in different ways. And what I mean by that is that
two different views.
That Wonder Woman was coming out and she was saying, you know, men are evil, but, you know, we can save them because they have the potential to do good. Yeah. And he was saying, you're right, men are evil and we should eliminate them because of that. And so his big thing that you, the kind of reveal at the end is that, you know, he's... Well, not the reveal, so to speak.
Spoilers.
But, oh, yeah. Spoilers. We should probably put that at the start of every episode. But he... he's saying that, you know, I didn't control this. I just gave him a nudge. This is what humans are like.
A whisper and here, a whisper there.
Exactly. And his whisper is like, they are evil. Mm. So I'm just going to nudge them so that they take care of themselves. Yeah. And she's coming along and saying, no, men have the potential... Or, sorry, to humans change. Have the potential to be good.
Yeah.
And it is because of that that we need to save them. And so, yeah, like they're both... They're basically both acknowledging that mankind is evil.
Yeah.
But they want to deal with it in separate ways.
Yeah.
The only thing that I do think, again, I was talking to someone, they do kind of do their whole reveal right in like the last 10 minutes.
Yeah. But you see, I called it at the start.
Oh, yeah.
When just like, you know, Ares got injured when he got sent down from the earth and he's the only one limping around with a cane.
Yeah.
It's like, well,
see, I didn't even notice that.
Didn't you?
No. Nah. Like, I mean, I kind of looked at him and I was like,
yeah, as soon as they said he was injured and he was the only one limping around because the other guy wasn't limping, he wasn't in pain or anything. Yeah, I was like, no, there it is.
Yeah, I mean, it did get leaked prior to the film.
Did it?
Yeah, it did.
Shows
you how much I watched.
Which I think is, I mean, we should just not pay attention to leaks because it's going to ruin your experience.
Yes, that's why you don't watch TV spots for movies and stuff like that. You watch the first three international trailers and you don't watch anything else. Oh,
even like, I reckon maybe first teaser for a big film.
Yeah.
Because if you look at some of other, I know we're kind of picking on DC here, but some of their other trailers, Batman v Superman trailer 3. With it was
released a year in advance, and then they say, like, "Oh, we still got more to reveal." And you're like, "Do you?
Doomsday? Please don't,
because it seems like you've revealed everything."
Superman's die? No, yeah. Okay.
Martha.
Yeah, Martha. While on the subject of villains, what do you think about the German general? Was he German?
Yeah, he was
definitely German.
Big Danny Houston.
It was good.
It was
a plot point.
I'm glad that he died because if it turned out that he was Ares, I would have felt very disappointed.
Yeah.
It would have been too simple.
Yeah, and you know what? I think I actually really liked it because he kind of comes in and the whole time, at least she thinks that he's Ares.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's this big and then she comes in and I'm going to defeat you and she kind of does it and it's somewhat easy.
Mm.
And then she's kind of like, well, hang on. Like, this is all supposed to be better.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like the big reveal. And it also puts her into a bit of perspective of like, hey, it's not this easy. It's not just a simple, you kill Ares and the world goes back to being normal.
Yeah.
I thought he was good. But really, I mean, he really was just a sub
bit of a character. Red herring.
Yeah.
I imagine you watch it the second time and you just don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, look, it wasn't too bad. What you said there, Tyson, I think is very true because we as an audience as well were persuaded to think that he is Ares.
Yeah.
So
general audience who don't read comic books and don't watch these movies religiously and sit till the end of the credits and stuff like that, it's a good plot point for them. Mm. You know, it keeps the movie interesting for them. And then when the guy finally reveals himself, what? No way! Get out of town.
But even for people who do read comics, like, it's not unusual to change what a villain is and their history and everything. Yeah. And so, I mean, you could write it, like, really, you could have transplanted the story of Ares, like, from when he gets cast down to the current time, the movie time period. You could have transplanted that into the German general, whose name is escaping me at the moment.
Yeah, let's call him Danny Houston.
Yeah, you could put it into, I just had it, and now I've lost it. Ludendorff. You could put it into his backstory as well. Like, you could have transplanted that.
You could easily have done it, but it would have just been too in your face.
Mm.
It's simple. Follow the ABCs. Follow the bouncing ball.
Yeah. No, it was good. I really enjoyed it. I'm really excited for Justice League.
I am excited. We've still got one more trailer to come.
Hopefully just one more.
Yeah, I was going to say, they need to stop releasing trailers.
But, you know, Warner Brothers are doing what they always do. They've got their budgets and stuff like that, and they have money for them to go back and do reshoots. It happens in every movie. So when
it does, I'm not sure why everyone makes a big fuss out of it. It's common practice.
It's
oh yeah, you always do. Yeah. You do a bunch of shots, you do some post, and then you go, okay, now that we've got this aligned and this, we need to redo this.
Yeah,
and
like really re-get this line again.
Anyone who can storyboard an entire, like, you know, 2.5 hour movie and get it right in your first shot straight away when you're not doing it in sequential order anyway, like, well done. Go to Hollywood and sell yourself, because that's not something that happens normally.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just hoping we don't get any Superman reveals in the trailer
I don't think we will.
Yeah, I'm hoping not.
I hope not.
Surely learn from your mistakes.
I think what you'll probably get is what you get in, like, The Dark Knight Returns, you know, where you start off at his feet and then you just see the cape and that's it. You won't see anything about him. Well, like, you'll just probably see the back of him turning away. You know, you won't see any reveals.
What I'd really like is just the back of his head and his in his Clark Kent kind of get up and walking through the street. Like, that'd be enough to me. I'd be like, ooh,
he's back. How's he coming back, though? Is he coming back?
Yeah, please don't spoil any third act plot points.
Yeah.
Anyway, cool. Well, considering we're kind of heading that direction, is there anything else you want to touch on with Wonder Woman?
No.
Well,
really enjoy it.
I thoroughly recommend it to everyone. In fact, for a while, it was the highest rated superhero movie.
I was just going to mention
on
that,
Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, but unfortunately, Spider-Man has now hit the scene and he's rating at 97.
Ooh.
With a 99% want to see.
Wow, there you go. Yeah.
Holy.
You know, it's, we need a sixth Spider-Man movie in our lifetime.
Well, we need a good Spider-Man movie in our life.
I really enjoyed
I did as well.
I don't know how many times I saw the very first one.
Last 10 minutes.
Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Like, cut out. See, that's the better one of the three.
Hey?
Compared to those first three.
Wait, sorry, are we talking about Andrew Garfield?
Yeah, Andrew Garfield. Okay. Yeah, no, I'm not a big fan of the Tobey Maguire ones, to be honest.
This is the point we have come to where we get confused about what's
Spider-Man. Which version of the Green Goblin are we talking about here?
James Franco?
But anyway, okay, so moving on, let's head to the future. So this is where we look at a trailer. Or we talk about at least a trailer or something that is upcoming that we are excited about. So I'll start this off. I am really excited to see Valerian, the City of 1,000 Planets. I
don't know much about this.
I'll be honest, I don't know heaps about it either. Basically, I'm a classic person where I'll jump on IMDb and I really get sold on the posters.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, if something has a really interesting poster, I'm like, ooh, I'm going to look at that. Or if something has a really interesting title, I'll be like, ooh, that looks great. Very rarely am I looking at, like, the cast.
Yeah.
Occasionally I go, ooh, you know, this is Guillermo del Toro's new film. I want to, doesn't matter what anything it is.
Exactly, yeah.
But yeah, it was the name, Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets. And I was like, that sounds interesting. And so I watched the trailer and I just thought it looked stunning. Really, the first trailer, having not known anything really about Valerian and its story. So to go into it, Valerian is a French graphic novel series.
Yes.
In fact, I'm pretty sure it is one of the most successful French graphic novels, if not the most successful.
The French have a huge comic book range.
Yeah, they do.
Absolutely massive. They pay their artists and writers handsomely, as opposed to America, where they pay not as much.
So I did a bit of research at this point and had a look, and the graphic novels are quite old. I have a feeling that they they're published in someone might be able to correct me on this, but I think it's the 80s, and they're very old, like art style of, you know, like ink and paint and things like that. No kind of computer touch up kind of thing. Okay. And as essentially, as far as I'm aware, Valerian and what's her name? Is it? I was about to say Lorelei, and I'm not even sure if that's correct.
Lorelei.
Laureline. Laureline. Valerian and Laureline are essentially, they're like police partners, but also they travel through time as well.
Yeah.
So they travel through space and time. Now, I don't know how much of that is being touched on in the movie, but where they are in Alpha, which is the City of 1,000 Planets, it's supposed to be like a nexus or a hub of all these different alien species. And think kind of like the United Nations, but in a location. And
Don't they have a location?
To, yeah, I was going to say, as opposed to New York, where the United Nations are.
Don't they have a building?
But anyway, so it's supposed to be like this metropolis of like 1,000 different species. Yeah. And I think...
Well, it's like its own planet made up of a compilation of other planets.
Yeah.
Well, and, the name's in the
title. And there's some kind of menace that's happening and they've got to stop it. Anyway, I think it looks amazing.
Because they're space cops, aren't they, more or less?
Essentially, yeah. Okay. And it's directed by Luc Besson, who is known for, most notably, The Fifth Element.
The Fifth Element.
Yep. And when I was actually looking at something about this, it turns out that most of his inspiration for The Fifth Element was Valerian, the comics.
That does not surprise me.
Yeah. And apparently there was someone, one of his producers or something in France was like, why are you doing this Fifth Element? You should be doing Valerian. Because
apparently he wanted to do this movie and he wanted it to be visually interesting and like done no way other than before. But technology. Then... what's his name brought out Avatar, and he was like, well, guess I'm not doing that for a while then.
Because
he beat him to the punch with all the technology and the cameras and the visual effects, and that's why he's only bringing it out now. So you have to give a bit of space between those blue cats.
So have you guys seen the trailer for...
I have,
yes. Yes, I have. Yep.
And what are your thoughts?
I still don't know what's going on, but I want to know what's going on.
That's a good thing for a trailer.
Well, I was just going to say that. It's a good thing. A good trailer builds up anticipation.
Yeah.
Does not give away too much of the story, and it's just a montage of unrelated shots.
Yeah,
well, it gives you what you want to know. You exactly, know that those two are space cops. They have to go and figure something out.
Yeah,
and then they're running away, shooting guns and falling. And
just the broad the outline of what's going to be happening in the film.
The one thing that I'm concerned of, not okay. Look, I say concerned. This is not a real concern. Okay.
Loosely,
I'm always hesitant when musicians suddenly decide to take a foray into acting.
Oh, is this Rihanna?
Rihanna.
Oh, is she in there?
She's in it.
But no, she did Battleship.
Yeah, was she good in that?
She was okay. Like, she wasn't like, don't act.
So, and look, as I said earlier, I've been making some very wrong calls recently in movie history, what I think is going to be good and bad. So, so hopefully she's...
Okay.
Put it this way, I hate it when there's lots of emphasis on people that there shouldn't be lots of emphasis on just because it's, oh, look, we've
they're
got...
they're a famous person.
Yeah, exactly. We've got this person and it's their first, you know, acting gig or not their first, obviously, but, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think it looks really, really good. I'm really excited for it.
Visually interesting as well.
It's also the most expensive movie to come out of France.
Yes.
At $250 million, which is even...
chunk of change.
It's even expensive for Hollywood standards. The current highest budget movie was the most recent Pirates of the Caribbean at $320 million.
Yes.
But that is already being taken over by the two Avengers Infinity Wars.
Yeah, that's $1 billion.
$1 billion combined.
But that's
so
for both
of them,
so that's $500 million.
$500 million each.
Are they both Infinity Wars, didn't they?
Yeah, we don't.
It's not going to be Infinity War 1 and 2. They're both going to be under the pseudonym of Infinity War, la la la.
Okay, so they've just stopped splitting it into part 1, part 2.
Yeah, oh no, that got thrown out the window very quickly.
Okay.
They just did that to get it out there, and then the Russo brothers were quite, you know, intent on like, it's Infinity War Gauntlet or Infinity War. It's something else.
Good.
So.
I imagine they'll reveal the title for that when Infinity War comes out next year.
Comic Con's happening soon.
Oh, it is. It's July, isn't it?
And Marvel's going to be there with its junket as always.
Good, good. All right. Well, that's what I'm excited for, Valerian. Zach, what have you got?
Well, I've got a bit of an obscure one here called Logan Lucky.
Now, I want to know more about this.
I've never even heard about it.
No. So this is by Steven Soderbergh. If you don't know who he is, he directed the Oceans trilogy, Oceans 11, 12, 13.
Yep.
Also did Contagion, Haywire.
His
first film was Sex, Lies, and Videotape. Also did Magic Mike, which is interesting.
Unfortunate.
Look, apparently it was good.
I'll trust you.
Who
on
are
that
you
one?
Asking, women?
So what this is about, it's releasing this year. It's about this Logan family, which consists of Channing Tatum and Adam Driver.
Oh, no, I have seen the trailer for this. Yes. It looks amazing. It's got Daniel Craig in it as well. He looks so funny.
So the Logan family are this typical hillbilly selling...
Like, family,
like Adam Driver has like a plastic arm and everything.
Yeah, like obviously he lost an arm. He's got one arm. He's got one plastic one. Like,
just the typical.
You know who Adam Driver is, yeah?
Of course,
I can't place. Oh, there we go. Yeah. Okay, yep.
Basically, the Logan family, they have this curse around their family, superstition, if you will,
yep,
that they just get bad luck, and everyone around the town knows that, you know, they're a bad family, they get bad luck all the time. So to reverse that, Channing Tatum and Adam Driver enlist the help of Daniel Craig, who is a criminal.
In prison.
In prison.
While they ask him for help.
Yes.
Okay.
Hillbilly hick all the same. Yeah. Blonde hair.
Like bleach blonde hair. Yeah. Like Eminem.
Eminem. Wow, okay. That sounds interesting.
And their plan is they want to rob a speedway. At
like
the
NASCAR.
Like NASCAR Speedway, Coca-Cola, yeah. 600 Japan. It looks hilarious.
Yes, it looks. We will show you the trailer after yeah, we're done here.
Yeah,
it, is, it looks look so funny. So it's quite a nice contrast to Ocean's 11, well, the trilogy, because yeah, that's very slick, charismatic characters.
Quippy, very quippy.
Yeah.
But still
yeah,
robbery. So this,
still
this
robbery. And
thing,
they are. I love all three of those films.
I do as
oh,
well.
Oh, they are so good.
Still love the first one the most. And
yeah,
is it the second one?
See, Ocean's 12 yeah, I love. I love
oh,
Ocean's
see,
12.
12 was the one I reckon I could leave. Look, I still think it was amazing. Yeah, I just, okay, out of the trilogy, I thought 12 yeah, was the way. Although that being said, I actually really liked the cinematography in 12 more than the other two.
Who all was the bad guy in number two?
What's his name? Vincent Cassell.
Vincent Cassell. Well, then who? Scarface.
Scarface was third.
Al Pacino.
Was three.
Yeah.
Al Pacino.
Yeah.
That's
yeah, third one.
And then Andy Garcia was number. See, I love these films.
Oh, so good.
But yeah, look, it looks. You got to go watch the trailer because there's nothing else I can really yeah, say about it.
So cast, it's a comedy. Yep.
It's a action comedy. Yeah.
Action comedy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ocean's 11, but with
more
hillbilly
with,
hick
with
southerners.
Dummies, yeah.
Yeah. With dummies.
Sold.
Yeah.
Like they're confused yeah, that when they smash through a wall, the money's not there.
Yeah.
You know? It's just like, why is it not here?
Yeah. Oh gosh.
Gotta
okay,
go find it. What's interesting as well, Steven Soderbergh has been out in and out of retirement quite a bit. I'm not sure
okay,
if you followed it.
No.
Yeah, he's in and out, isn't he?
After I think it was Magic Mike, he said he's going to retire. Then he came out and did Behind the Cabarella with Matt Damon and Michael Douglas.
Matt Damon.
And then he retired again. And then he's come out because he liked this script so much.
Oh, wow.
Because fun fact, it was given to him to refer it. To refer a director
to someone,
for it.
Yeah.
But he liked it so much, he's like, nah, I'm going to do
like,
this.
He's like, no, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I will get out of bed and make this movie.
That's exactly. That's actually, I love it when you hear stories like that because it's, you know, for someone to say, no, yeah, I want to do it. There yeah, must be something yeah, about it. So
yeah, look, listening, go watch the trailer. Looks awesome. I think it's August, September. I don't know the official.
It's definitely this year.
It's this year, of course. It will yeah, be without a doubt. Yeah. Daniel Craig looks so funny.
He does. He yeah, looks hilarious.
Yeah. But yeah, what about you, Nathan? What are you talking about?
I have got the old classic comic book Black Panther coming out. I know we are all excited for this. With Mr. Ooh. Chadwick Boseman as the lead role
he's
as T'Challa,
actor,
the
oh,
Black Panther.
I'm excited about this one.
Oh, it's looking so good, man. And we've got the director, Ryan Coogler.
Oh, man. Have you guys seen Creed?
Yes.
Oh,
Coogler directed Creed.
Yeah,
Creed is that
the continuation of Rocky's not Rocky's story,
oh,
but
yeah,
see because
yeah,
as
yeah,
far as Sylvester
I
Stallone was concerned, Rocky was done.
Yeah,
there was nothing else in the pipeline, and Ryan Coogler and a friend in film school came up with this script
yeah,
as an idea.
Okay,
and I think I don't know who it was loved it so much said you should honestly go and pitch this.
Yeah,
pitched
someone
it
did,
made
yeah,
its way to Sylvester Stallone, and he
yeah,
was just like, I would never have thought of this. This is a brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant idea.
Oh, yeah. Good. Okay.
So it's going to follow Mr. Chadwick Boseman, Mr. Yeah. Black Panther, as he goes back home after the events of Civil War and him having to take the throne after his father's death.
You were telling me, because I was in originally like, I'm not sure like where this goes with this. I'm not super up on Black Panther knowledge, but you
yeah,
were telling me
either.
Go on, about where the essentially the conflict for the movie is coming from?
The conflict's coming from because he has to go home because obviously his father's dead.
Mm. Yeah,
so he was the king, so now essentially he becomes the king because
yeah,
he was the
prince. For those of you who don't know, in Civil War, Captain America 3, the king
T'Challa.
Of...
T'Chaka is his
T'Chaka.
Name.
Yeah, T'Chaka, who is the king of... Oh,
T'Chaka.
I can't even remember. What's the country called again?
Wakanda.
Wakanda, of course. He dies in an explosion.
Yes.
And so his son...
T'Challa
has to take the throne. And
yeah,
so, yep, carry on, sorry.
So when he gets home, he has to take the throne. And because he's the new king, naturally people are going to challenge him for the throne because they don't feel he's the right person for the role anymore.
Yep.
And Wakanda is made up of different factions. So like there's the White Gorilla faction and they have their powers derived from the White Gorillas. So they kill the White Gorillas, eat their meat, and that's how they get strong.
Okay.
You see where Black Panther gets his... power, inverted commas,
yep,
from I think he eats like a certain leaf that's grows in Wakanda because of the, what's the metal that they have there? Vibranium.
Yes.
Vibranium. It does something to the plant, and that's what he eats to get his Black Panther-ness.
Yeah.
And I think there's a few other different factions. Then there's Michael B. Jordan, who was also in Creed as well. He played...
He's a good actor. He's done some good stuff.
What was his father's name?
Some bad stuff.
He plays Apollo Creed's son.
Okay, yes. Yep.
Yeah. And he's also in this movie as well, and he's playing Eric Killmonger.
Is he the villain, or is Man-Ape the villain?
He's the big villain.
Okay.
Is Mr.
He's
Killmonger.
The BBEG.
But he's teaming up with Ulysses Claw, played by...
Good stuff. Man himself.
The man himself, Andy Serkis.
Ah.
Mr. CG himself.
Yeah.
Great actor.
He can't be in any movie without any type of CG.
Type of mocap.
Tell you what, he's outstanding.
He's
a phenomenal actor. Mm. I wish he could just do a movie where it was just him. Actually, I think he has done a movie where it's just him.
I'm sure he
but
has.
It wasn't that big of a movie. But anyway, Black Panther is looking phenomenal.
Mm.
The storyline looks legit.
Yep.
And it's made up of, I think it's like 90% African American cast.
Yep.
I remember hearing this actually.
A couple of white people, and one of them being Martin Freeman.
And Andy Serkis, I'd imagine so.
And Andy Serkis. So Martin Freeman will play Everett Ross.
Mm. Is that statistic also go into the crew as well?
No, we're just talking about the cast.
So the cast okay.
So on screen presence will be mostly African American.
Yeah.
Which is good. Yeah. Like, why would it not be? This is Wakanda. Yeah.
You're gonna have serious problems if it's not like that.
And it's good because they're gonna be the smart ones. They're gonna be the heroes. They're not shunned away, or they're not the slaves in the movie or something like that. They're actually in control of this movie.
Mm.
For once, it's gonna be good.
Be good.
Yeah, man.
I'm looking forward to it, of course, because it is a Marvel film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One qualm I had about it, this is just the poster that came out for it.
Don't even get me started.
Yeah, okay, good, okay.
If you gave me a tutorial on... how to use Photoshop, I could probably do that. But I don't feel that was the only poster that came out. I feel there was another one.
Do you know what? There is a great... If anyone is interested, there is a great video on YouTube. I don't know its exact title. It's something along the lines of Whatever Happened to Great Movie Posters.
Yeah.
And it looks at movie posters in the era of like Hitchcock's movie posters and those old like 60s, 70s, 80s style movie posters. And then he looks at a lot of the new ones and how it's just like this very standard formula.
Yeah.
And you look at it and you're like, some of the old movie posters were works of art.
They were so well done.
And then so many of them now are just...
Computer.
Not only computer, but floating heads. And like, we need to make sure that everyone who's being paid money appears on this poster.
Yep.
Yeah.
When it should be something. Actually, and you know what? Which is where... Look, not perfect, but where I think Logan had a great poster recently, where it's just like the hand with the claws and the child's hand, like holding it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, we know who's in it.
Yeah.
We don't need to see all their faces.
Yeah.
Just that. Nice, perfect. It tells you exactly what's happening. It's old, wrinkled, claws, blood, scabs, and then the young child's hand. Like, it summarizes the whole movie. Anyway.
Yeah. But the fight scenes look awesome.
Oh,
they look even from the trailer.
Phenomenal.
Which is good. The whole... trailer at the end of the trailer, the car flip thingy,
very Batman-esque.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe it was just me. I thought like the CGI looked a little
really.
Yeah, I remember you saying this. I went and rewatched it after you said that, and I was like, I don't think it looks that bad.
Because if you look back to Civil War, especially that first scene with the cars going through the street and stuff, that was bad CGI.
Yeah,
even Tyson leaned over to me at the movie and was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah,
yeah.
Look, maybe it is just me. I don't want to like nitpick, but look, it looks awesome. I like how Andy Serkis is back, because he was really just in Age of Ultron, and then he was...
Well, when he was in Age of Ultron, that was definitely a setup, because Ulysses Claw is a huge character for the Black Panther thing. I think he originally killed... I think his grandfather was killed by the Black Panther in World War II.
And he's got
a grudge match, and he's, like he said in the trailer, he's the only one to go there and get out alive. And see Wakanda. And that's true. That's what's in the comic book. Yeah. So.
And also, one line, just lastly, one line in the trailer said, you're a good man with a good heart, but because that might not mean that you'll be a good king.
Yeah.
So I really hope they explore that in
that
a good way.
That is, I think the theories are that's his uncle, because his uncle's the one that has to usher him through this kingness and teach him how to do it. I think that's his uncle saying that to him.
Because it is one thing to be a superhero protecting... your I don't know, nation, country, whatever, but nothing to be a king and to be that public figure for the world. I think they will explore that very well.
Wakanda is a very shut-off civilization. Goodness. Like, they do not like Western influences.
Nah.
They are their own place, and if anyone goes out and comes back, they're very hesitant about them. It's like, why would you want to leave? And why have you come back?
I think it'll be interesting how they're going to explain that, especially considering that all the Marvel movies are set in present day. How are they going to explain, hey, we've had Google Maps for it's 10, 12 years now? Like,
well, I think by the time, especially with Civil War, I think everyone knows that Wakanda is a place now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Back in the day, they probably didn't. Like Andy Serkis said in the trailer, is like, you know, they thought it was in the Amazon, but it was in Africa the whole time. You know, that was them, but now they know it because there was people from Wakanda in that building that got blown up in Civil War. That's why Wakanda was part of the UN and the Civil Accords and all of that. So obviously they know it exists now, but it's still a very shut off community. You can't just be like, I'm coming, like, you don't get let
it's
in.
Let's go on a vacation to Wakanda, kids.
No, that don't happen.
Alright, well, there we have it. We have past, present and future. Yeah, it was lovely chatting with you guys.
And this is episode one, by the way.
Technically episode zero. This might either go up or it might be the secret episode that we hide away in shame and only bring out after like 2 years of doing this. But anyway, it's been lovely. We're going to get back in our time machine and we'll disappear back into the past, and we'll see you next time on Screen Review Time Warp.
Bye-bye.
Catch you later.